Good morning. We welcome you to our second virtual service this morning here at Flat Creek. We trust that you learned a great deal. I know Brother Vance's message spoke to my heart. Sermon on the Mount is always one of those compelling and also convicting studies in Scripture. I appreciate his diligence in study and in preparation and in delivering that message. For those of you that are tuning in, and I know that we have a number, we are in Luke chapter 5 this morning. We typically preach and teach expositionally from the pulpit here at Flat Creek, have been in Romans 13 for a number of weeks, and so for the next couple of weeks we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. I want you to know that we're going to mention social distancing in this message, and that there are four of us here this morning, and we are all practicing social distancing, all right? Which in a Baptist church generally means that people fill in the back pews and make their way toward the front. But I do appreciate Brother Vance, appreciate Jeff Sanders, Tim Glick for their being here to help broadcast these messages. In Luke 5, one of the things that we need to remember as we focus on, we'll pick up in verse 12 here in just a moment, but one of the things that we need to focus on is that this entire passage begins with verse 1, where it says, "And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God." Luke 5 is about the power and authority of the words of Jesus, the word of God. Now, it's demonstrated for us in a variety of ways in this marvelous chapter. And we're going to focus this morning on verses 12 through 15, and in your hearing, the scripture says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will look at the passage of Scripture. Father, thank you this morning that we live in a time where the Word of God can be broadcast, it can be received in ways that we never imagined many years ago. And so we ask that you would bless your Word. It never returns void. We pray that you'd illuminate our hearts and minds, that you would calm our fears, and that you would teach us that this passage is more about the words from Jesus than about the healing of the leper. In Jesus' name we make this prayer. Amen. God has all knowledge and all authority over the natural and supernatural forces of this world. He knows exactly how COVID-19 started and where it's going next. Thankfully, neither sin, nor Satan, nor sickness, nor sabotage is stronger than Jesus. We live in a fallen world, and bad things, evil things happen in this world. But God has not left the world without a witness, and he did that in Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can bring hope in the midst of darkness. You see, the question is not whether Jesus is sovereign in all things. Obviously, he is. The question is, with our Bibles open, and I trust you have your Bibles open this morning, that you are following along. With our Bibles open, how are we to understand the crises like COVID-19. How can we make sense of these difficult times? It's not unique. It may be unique to us or to some of you that are listening, but humankind and over history, these types of events have unfortunately been more rampant than we would ever like to imagine. Remember just a few years ago, the tragedy of 9/11 and how we responded then. This is just another in a long line of human tragedies. The psalmist wrote, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." Psalm 33:11. And as I was putting together this message this week, I was reminded of Psalm 46. "Be still and know that I am God." Now, we quote that often, but the rest of the verse reads, "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." There are times when God, who is sovereign, can shut us virtually down to cause us to turn our hearts and lives to Him. This is especially true for the church. In the urban and the rural locations where we live, we are surrounded by physical and spiritual need. And this makes Luke 5 a particularly applicable text for us. There are two incredible stories here, two great healing stories, and we're going to look at the first one, the one of the healing of a leper this morning, and then the paralytic next Sunday morning. Sometimes, because of their familiarity, they lose their luster. But I want you to listen and to focus this morning on the healing wonder of God's dominion over sin, over the sin of disease, and over the disease of sin. All of us fear disease, but fear does not conquer disease. In fact, an acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. The first story this morning that we're going to look at sets the stage for the healing of a man with leprosy. And so we're going to look at the portrait of a leper and then a portrait of the Savior. But keep in mind, the chapter is about the power of the words of Jesus. In verse 12, we see the portrait of a desperate leper. This man came because he had nothing to lose. And it happened, verse 12, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." If we went back into the Old Testament, we would find that the punishment for a leper that refused to cry unclean, unclean, as they made their way into cities, was stoning. And they were commanded by the law to maintain that social distancing. So what we see in this passage immediately is what this man did was shameless. What he did was fearless. What he did was dangerous. It may and could have cost him his life. And what he did was courageous and bold. He was desperate because the Bible says he was full of leprosy. In other words, he was at a point to where if Jesus did not intervene, he had a very short time to live. Josephus, one of the Hebrew historians, a little after Jesus ascended back into heaven, wrote in one of his histories that lepers were treated as dead men. And getting near a leper, not touching a leper, which we'll see here shortly, but even becoming Getting near to a leper was the rankest form of defilement. In Jesus' time, lepers were barred from any city with walls, especially the city of Jerusalem. And if a leper went into the synagogue, and we find that Jesus had been teaching in the synagogue, the latter part of chapter 4, but if a leper went into the synagogue, or into a town, or into a village, they were immediately to be taken to a small, isolated room, and they couldn't come near any other people. In fact, the rabbis would write that they could come no closer than 6 feet upwind, or 150 feet downwind. Does that sound familiar? So these restrictions of COVID-19 are actually just reiterations of what mankind has faced for thousands of years. The portrait of a desperate leper. Second, it's the portrait of a reverent leper. Luke records that he fell on his face. In fact, if you went back to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 8 is one of the synoptics that follows what occurs here, and Mark chapter 1 is the other parallel passage. But if you went back to Matthew chapter 8, you would find that Matthew says he fell on his face worshiping. And the word that is used there for worshiping is the New Testament word that is only used for worshiping God. He wasn't a pagan. He wasn't an individual given to the polytheism of the Roman times. He fell on his face. He prostrated himself before God, knowing that, first of all, Jesus deserved worship. The body language here is the language of worship. So from this, we gather that no doubt this man had been listening to Jesus preach from a distance. And so he recognized that in the teaching of Jesus, there was authority. He recognized that Jesus was a prophet sent from God. So he comes with reverence. And he prostrates himself before Jesus Christ. He falls on his face. He knew he was unclean. He knew he was filthy. He knew he was wretched. He knew he was ugly. And he knew he should have been isolated. He's ashamed to face a holy God, but he knows that only a holy God can restore him. In fact, the word for fell here in this verse is a unique word for those that were lepers, and it means to dismember a corpse by decay. So when the man fell, the type of leprosy that he had would remove some of the infected flesh. It was extremely and excruciatingly painful. This is a revolting illustration of the disease this man had. A portrait of a desperate leper, a portrait of a reverent leper, and then in this passage, in this verse also, portrait of an urgent leper. He implored him. We can't use the word demand, but he knows his particular situation, and so he is pleading for his life. He already had endured the shame, the alienation, the isolation, the suffering, and the disfigurement of this disease. We don't know how many years he had suffered. We don't know how often he cried out, begging and pleading and desperate. But he comes to Jesus reverent, and he comes with urgency. This is sin's nature. Man's in pain, regardless of whether we have leprosy or COVID-19. We're in pain. And the gospel tells us the pains that God has taken in his Son to defeat sin and the wages of sin, which is death. The ripping and writhing of the God-man Jesus Christ on the cross tells us the extent of sin is morally impossible to fix without God's intervention. The leper understood that. Do we understand that? This man, knowing his disease is malignant, and unless someone urgently intervenes, he will die a painful death. So we see a desperate leper, we see an urgent leper, we see a reverent leper, but we also see a humble leper. Lord, if you are willing. He didn't have any doubts about the Lord's ability, but he didn't make any demands. You must heal me. We'll hear probably a lot about that over the next few weeks. This man makes no demands. He's not concerned with his rights. He's aware of his wretchedness. And no doubt because of his wretchedness, he is aware of his sin. He comes not with any claim to personal rights. He doesn't come demanding that Jesus heal him. You see, true illness humbles. Over the past many, many years in our own country, in the Western world in particular, we have become less and less afraid of the consequences of breaking God's laws. And we have, even as believers, entertained no fear of God. While the awful sinfulness and rampant lawlessness of society is prevalent in our own America, we've doubted the sovereignty of God in the midst of this pandemic. In fact, some have no doubt blamed God for the pandemic. We've questioned God's goodness in times such as these, but we ignore the fact that in most cases, men bring great troubles upon themselves. God and His Son today are but a parody of the God we find in Scripture. God and His Son today, many people assume that they don't command the respect of anyone, that God's holiness has disrobed His rightful majesty. And He's often painted as a grandfather that just pats you on top of your head. That's okay. I'm here to save, not to judge. That's not the God of Scripture. Man's pride has removed the authority of God's Word. This man knew that he stood before Jesus. He had a beatitude attitude. He was hungry and thirsty for Jesus. Yes, he wanted to be healed, but he came to one that was a greater healer than he ever imagined. He's meek. He's broken in spirit. He's bankrupt economically, physically, spiritually. And he knows that Jesus does not have to heal him. He made no demands on the Lord. He has profound needs, but he doesn't have any rights. That's humility. Luke 5 is filled with humble people. The first few verses of Luke 5 teach us about Peter. The command to launch out into the deep and let down the nets, and how Peter labored to, as a fisherman, as a very knowledgeable fisherman, as a professional, not amateur. He earned his living as a fisherman. And he, in verse 8, says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." How we need that in our churches, how we need that in our country, how we need it globally. And finally, it's a portrait of a leper, with faith. You, and only you, can make me clean. You alone have the power, Jesus. He had faith in the power of the great physician. 19 times in the gospel we find Jesus healing people. Now we know he healed quite a bit more than the 19 times it's recorded in Scripture. But we also know that he didn't heal everyone he came in contact with. We know this from the Pool of Bethesda in John's gospel. There will be a lot of demands made of God over the next few weeks. I'll probably make some myself, and you will too, and we will sin in making those demands. For he has demanded that we right ourselves with him and know that he is God. We live in a time where great progress has been made in treating illnesses. We're grateful for the time in which we live. But true, pure, complete cures are found only in the triune God. It's a remarkable, remarkable statement. He says, "Lord, you can make me clean. Cleanse me physically from this debilitating, horrid disease." But what happened was he was cleansed spiritually in his soul as Jesus saved him. This man was desperate, reverent, urgent, humble, and faithful. It's a graphic illustration of how folks come to Jesus Christ. Next slide, if you would, brother. That's the portrait of the leper. Let's look at the portrait of the Savior. Verse 13, he put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, the leprosy left him. We see the portrait of a willing Savior. He said, "I am willing." Much of our Christian life is spent trusting Jesus now and then trying to understand him later. But Jesus doesn't find it necessary to explain to his children every little whip stitch of what he does. Now, we would like that, but Jesus acts because he is God. And sometimes when he doesn't reveal himself as we think he ought to, we refuse to trust him or to trust his wisdom in our lives. And so we're drawn away by temptation and we succumb to object his beautiful will. The word willing there means Jesus had resolve and a desire to do something that he loved, which was he loved the leper. He wanted to heal him. In fact, he does. But also, he saved him. And here's the thing. Men are not saved because Jesus is not willing to save them. He is. They remain unsaved because they resist the Holy Spirit. They object to what God demands for folks to come to a saving knowledge of his Son. Jesus would preach in John 5, he would say, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. And in John 6, he says, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one that does come to me, I will by no means cast out. The onus is on us. It is our responsibility to repent and believe and come to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the blame of a sinner's sin lies squarely upon his own shoulders. And God's love is never lessened by man's refusal to come to him. Man is bound to do what God commands and to abstain from what God forbids simply because God does command and forbid. There is no greater foundation of right and wrong except the will and the word of God. Now, Luke expresses here, he stresses the immediacy of Jesus healing this man. Immediately, the leprosy left him. In verse 14, there is this obedience and consistency in honoring the word of God. We'll look at that in just a moment. And in verse 16, notice what it says. We didn't read that, but let's read it. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So the power of the preaching of the word of God, the power for the healing of this man came from praying. We need that during these days. Jesus' authority was often questioned by the leaders of his day. We'll see that in the following healing of the paralytic. Jesus was an enigma to these folks because that's what God is. God is a person that is quite a bit different. The book of Isaiah says he is other than you and I. And thank God he is. But to this man, he's now fully cleansed, he's fully healed, he's fully forgiven, and he's completely justified. Jesus is the Savior. It's a portrait of a willing Savior. It's also the portrait of a delivering Savior. The man risked everything and he came to Jesus. Now God gave men, he granted to men minds to choose. And the act of this man, the imploring of his will, if you would, the man's will, was simply a choice he made. He wanted to come to someone that he knew could heal him. And so he made that choice, and everything aside, even the potential of him being stoned, he made his way to Jesus. And Jesus declared to this sinner, stricken with leprosy, I am willing, be cleansed. He willed to deliver and to cleanse a desperate sinner. It's interesting as we look at this particular passage, notice how Luke structures it. He says, I am willing, and in our English version, there's a semicolon, which means that the verse itself or the structure of Jesus, the speaking of Jesus, stopped. And he used one word, katharizo. That's the word for cleansed. And so Jesus touched the man, we learn, and cried, gather up!